Chapter 7 Molly's Revenge. There were many guests at the New Year's Eve party which was taking place at the Red House, and they were all enjoying themselves. All Godfrey wanted was to forget his problems for one night and to be happy with Nancy's company. He had no idea that his wife, Molly, was walking slowly towards the Red House, carrying their child in her arms. Molly had been planning to confront Godfrey for some time. She knew that Godfrey would be at the party and decided to go there. "I'm sure Godfrey is smiling at everyone and everyone is smiling at him," Molly said to herself as she walked with difficulty through the falling snow. "He'll stop smiling when I arrive and tell his father that I'm Godfrey's wife. That will be my revenge." Molly had once been very pretty, but she wasn't any more. She was wearing dirty, old clothes and looked like a poor person. Of course, the reason for this was her addiction. She spent all the money that Godfrey gave her on alcohol and opium, so she and her child had no good clothes and were also often hungry. But Molly didn't consider herself responsible for this condition. In her opinion, Godfrey was responsible. "He's rich and lives a good life," she often said to herself. "I should have that kind of life too, because I'm his wife." Molly had left her house early in order to arrive at the Red House during the party, but it was difficult for her to walk such a long way while carrying the little girl. The weather was very bad. A lot of snow was falling, and there was a cold wind, so Molly stopped in some stables near the road. It was warmer there, and she stayed for a long time resting and hoping that the snow would stop. But the snow didn't stop, and finally she started walking again. Now it was almost 7 o'clock in the evening. Molly was already very near Raveloe, but she didn't know that. In the dark, all the roads looked the same because everything was covered by snow. The little girl was still asleep, but Molly was cold and tired. She didn't think that she could continue walking. There was only one thing which always helped her to feel better. "I must take a little opium now," Molly said to herself. "It will give me strength." She took a small bottle out of her pocket, drank from it, and then threw the empty bottle into the snow. Now she didn't feel the cold wind anymore, but she found it even more difficult to continue walking. "I have to lie down and sleep for a while," she thought. She lay down in the snow near a rose bush. She wasn't thinking about anything anymore. For some time she held the sleeping child close to her body, but then her hands relaxed and the child fell into the snow. The little girl opened her blue eyes and called, "Mummy!" But Molly didn't hear her. The child looked around and suddenly saw a light through the snow. She stood up and started walking towards the light. A few minutes later, she walked through the open door of Silas Marner's house. A fire was burning in the fireplace, and that was the light that the little girl had seen. Silas had put his coat in front of the fire to dry. The child lay down on it, happy to feel the heat after being in the cold and wet snow. She closed her eyes and fell asleep immediately. Silas was in the house, but he hadn't seen the child or heard her. Ever since his money had disappeared, Silas often opened his door and looked out, hoping to see his money. He did this especially in the evenings when he wasn't busy weaving. He always hoped that he would open the door and find that his money had returned. He had opened his door this evening too, but then, while he was opening it, he had one of his fits, which always came suddenly. He stood near his door and wasn't able to move, see, or hear anything. When the fit was over and everything was normal again, he closed the door. Then he turned and started to walk towards the fire to warm himself. Suddenly, he stopped, and his heart began to beat very fast. "What's that lying near the fire?" Silas exclaimed. "It's my gold! My gold has come back to me!" Silas put out his hand to touch the gold, but instead of coins, his hand felt soft hair. "There's a small child lying here sleeping," Silas said, very surprised. "Am I dreaming? How could a child have come in without my knowledge? I must have had one of my fits. That's the explanation." Silas put more wood on the fire so that he could see the child more clearly. As he looked at her, he remembered his old home in Lantern Yard. He remembered that he had once been happy and had had good friends. He suddenly felt love for the child and a belief in God and human beings again, which he hadn't felt in the 15 years that he had lived in Ravelo. "Where has this little child come from? It's a mystery," Silas thought. "Maybe God sent it to me. Maybe this is some kind of sign that my life is going to improve." Suddenly, he heard a cry. The child had woken up. Silas put her on his knee. She put her arms round him, but continued crying. "She might be hungry," Silas said to himself. "I've got some cereal which I can give her. There's some sugar that I've been saving for a special occasion. I'll add it to the cereal. It will make it taste sweet." For the next hour, Silas was very busy. He prepared the cereal, put the little girl on his knee, and then started to feed her the cereal with a spoon. The child stopped crying, and after eating, she seemed quite happy. But a few minutes later, she tried to take off her little boots. Silas saw that the boots were wet and realized that she must have been outside in the snow. He took the child in his arms, went to the door, and opened it. As soon as he opened the door, she shouted, "Mummy!" Silas could see where the child had walked in the snow, and he walked in that direction with the child still in his arms. The child continued shouting, "Mummy!" and putting her arms out in front of her. A few minutes later, they found a body lying in the snow near a rose bush. Meanwhile, in the Red House, there was music and dancing. Mr. Cass was walking around talking to his many guests. All the people were enjoying themselves. The servants had finished serving a large dinner, and now they were permitted to stand and watch the guests dancing. Godfrey was standing in the large room, watching Nancy Lammeter, who was sitting with a group of people. Although Godfrey thought that Nancy was the prettiest girl there, he didn't go near her because he was afraid that his father would say something to her about marrying Godfrey. But until now, his father had been busy with all his guests. Soon, Godfrey would ask her to dance. He was looking forward to that moment. Godfrey looked towards the door. Suddenly, he saw the strangest thing. Couldn't believe his eyes.